Most people do not know this about me. And there's a reason for that, because I think that we will keep secrets because, I don't know, we're embarrassed that there wasn't a resolution, or because we find something else that we're passionate about. There's so many different things. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine. Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know, those deep, dark secrets we probably want to go to our grave with, or those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing. Really, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Today, my guest is the amazing Anton. Now, Anton, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. What is your secret?
Okay, so my secret, you're going to trip on this
one. Oh my God, I can't wait. Look, I'm like grinning.
That I wanted to be an actor.
What?
I know.
Wow, that was really loud. Sorry, people. What?
I know. It's crazy, right? And we've
worked
together.
Wait a second. We worked together and you've
never told... I've done your makeup like a ton. I'm a makeup artist to everyone out there.
Everyone, if you need the most amazing eyes, like eye makeup done, he is the person.
Oh,
but you've
stop.
Never told me. I mean, we've talked about everything.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's something that maybe a couple of my friends know this, but most people do not know this about me. And there's a reason for that, because I think that we will keep secrets because, I don't know, we're embarrassed that there wasn't a resolution, or because we find something else that we're passionate about. There's so many different things. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny.
Okay, but we got to go back to the beginning. When did you want to become an actor? Like, at what age?
Well, it definitely wasn't when I was a kid or anything like that. I mean, I moved to Los Angeles about 10 years ago, and I started working more full-time as a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. And I love doing makeup, and I still do, and I'm, you know, very passionate about it. But I started to realize when I first moved to LA that I'm working with a lot of actors, and it's really cool what they're doing. I like that whole scene of like working with a crew and working with a team. And I always found that to be really interesting. And there's this like family unit involved. And I also always saw my clients not more in the spotlight in the sense of that's what I wanted, but more in the spotlight of like everyone wanted to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to make sure their needs are met, and yes, everyone else around them is kind of
catering.
Not as significant. Yeah, catering to it. Which
well,
can
yeah,
be pretty...
when you're the actor, you're the most important person.
Exactly.
So it's this energy is like, I was just talking to somebody on set, you're literally getting touched 24/7.
Yes, it's
by
true.
Everybody.
Everyone needs to do something, and it involves the actor.
Yes.
So I always found that to be really fascinating, but then I never really tried. I mean, I started to do makeup pretty quickly on a freelance basis. I was working at Mac. I was working in retail in Arizona, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And I left company after 6 years, and then I moved here and I was working for a different brand, a brand called Hourglass.
I love Hourglass.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we've definitely chatted about that, but it was in a retail capacity until I could kind of stabilize my freelance career. And I mean, I loved it and I still love it. So it was never an issue of, am I missing out on something? But at the same time, there was that, what if I tried kind of
thing. So wait, you never even tried? Did you even go on audition?
No. And the reason was because a couple years after, maybe, gosh, it might've even been just a year after I moved here. Mm-hmm. I was approached to do an on-camera kind of tutorial for a show.
Okay.
Obviously, as myself, teaching, I was doing like a smoky eye tutorial on a show. It was actually one of RuPaul's shows. It was a spinoff of RuPaul's Drag Race called RuPaul's Drag U.
Okay.
Where they would basically take a woman who would, like, she feels like she kind of lost her swag and she lost her way with her style and she needed like that re-up kind of glow up that now everyone is kind of saying situation. And she would get assigned a drag queen professor, one of the kind of alumni from one of the other shows. So, and then there were three women on the show who all had their own professor and they all had to compete. So they would bring in these kind of beauty experts and I got to come in and do this on-camera smoky eye tutorial, which was really fun. And I got to play on like my personality and everybody else's personality. And like a show like that has a whole lot of personality.
Oh, so yeah.
It was really, really fun. And I realized very quickly, I'm like, maybe being myself on camera is the real thing that I'm kind of wanting to do.
Okay, but I have a question for you. And I love that. I love that you love the whole aspect of the entertainment business and the family.
Yes.
But do you think you first wanted to become an actor for like the poshy glam side and not the hardworking, you're getting your ass handed to you?
You know what? It's so interesting you say that because it's probably because, oh gosh, it's
he's
so
thinking hard, people. No, you should see his face.
She could see me. I'm glad no one else can. No, I'm kidding. But no, it's so interesting because I think being new to the business and new to the industry 10 years ago, it's very, very easy to see that side of it and to think, well, I can do this too. Like, why shouldn't I try? Why shouldn't I get that kind of attention? But I was also 25. I was still trying to find my way and figure it out. And then I quickly realized this is not easy. Like this has to be a passion. You can't just wake up and necessarily want to do something like this. And it wasn't that way for me. I always found it to be kind of like a fascinating, like, oh, well, I have a big personality, so I could learn a script. Like, what's the big deal? But then I quickly realized, I'm like, well, maybe that script is just my own life. Maybe that's
maybe it's you. You don't want to play other people. See, because I became an actor because I didn't want to be myself. I wanted to be somebody else. And I loved putting on other people's clothes and shoes and be talking different and becoming a different character.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think that's so cool. Like for you. But I think that you as an actor, like you're moldable in the sense that you can step into that character and be a blank canvas for that director versus not everyone is that way, you know? And for me, I think it's very much like, you know, I'm kind of a big personality in the sense of just who
I am. You take up a lot of space.
I do take up space.
Because let me tell you, people, when he's doing my makeup at 5 a.m., my husband is literally like, oh, Anton is here with Rachel. They're so loud. Remember, he's like, you guys don't need to scream at each other.
This is like pre-baby too. Like, he's like, why are you yelling? Like, I can hear you like literally
like you're right in her face.
We're just, you know, and it's just part of who we are. It's just hysterical. But I think that I here's the thing. And I think it would have been very tricky to have tried to be an actor and to maybe have done a couple little of things and then transition back into makeup artistry. It might be tricky in the sense of being taken seriously at that point. So I think it's probably a good thing that it didn't necessarily go that direction.
I'm so fascinated. I would have never thought you wanted to be an actor.
Isn't that funny?
And I mean, I could see why what we said, like the family aspect, the creativity, all these people come together in one, you know, for short periods of time and they create this art and it's mm-hmm. the best feeling in the world, mm-hmm. but it cannot sustain you being an actor.
Isn't that, it's such a trip, but there is another reason why I didn't want to try. And this, kind of goes deeper into it. So I feel like it's very, finding encouragement from friends and family to just go out and do whatever you want is very
difficult.
So that can be a very, very difficult part too. And I have wonderful parents. I have a great family. They're very supportive of what I do. But if I was wanting to leave home and say I wanted to be an actor, I think it would have kind of maybe been a tricky situation. So unless you really, really, really have the guts to do it at a young age, which many do, and many find that success that way, it's tricky to do that. You know what I mean? I also think that there wasn't a whole lot of representation. There still isn't a whole lot of representation. Hollywood has definitely come a long way, but you know, there weren't really any I'm Armenian, I'm gay, yes. And there weren't really a lot. There were just a lot of situations where I didn't see myself on television or in commercials or in ads. Like, you know, I'm not blonde haired or blue eyed. And 10 years ago, that's all I really saw.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like it's interestingly enough, now there's so much more representation where, you know, the blonde haired, blue eyed actors are having more of a difficulty.
Oh, yes, we are.
And I know you could speak to that. It's so interesting. But I mean, you know, if there was a gay person on a show, they were playing themselves, or they were playing, you know, they weren't really, they were being pigeonholed or stereotyped. And that was very, very discouraging also, in the sense of like, well, I have something that I'm doing that I love. And, you know, thank goodness for that, because there's no place for me. You know what I mean?
That's so such a bummer.
It is a bummer. And I don't have any regrets in that regard.
Are you trying to tell me right now you're not going to do my makeup anymore and you're going to become an actor?
Well, no, I will always be there for you, because you're fantastic and I adore you. But I definitely think that since that one on-camera opportunity that I talked about with RuPaul's show, there have been several others. I did a makeover show on TLC, which was this really cool 6-part series where I was like the on-camera makeup artist. And then I did a Facebook watch show called Beauty School Knockout, which was really fun. And I was like the makeup judge. Vanessa Lachey was the host of the show, and I was kind of like her guest judge. So I've had a lot of those opportunities surface, and the more I've done them, the more I've realized that I love that as much as I love doing makeup. And, you know, a lot of glam people have a hard time doing on-camera things.
Yeah, so
the fact that I can do that, and the fact that I'm comfortable with that, just shows me even more so that like doing a show in that sense where I am like a beauty expert, being myself, not playing somebody else, because that's not at all where I want to go. You know, it's just not everything that I've done in this business for the last decade has showed me that that's not what I want. But being myself on an on-camera project, 100%, like I'm still looking for that next great opportunity.
Well, I love that, because I think, you know, we have this idea of what we're supposed to be, or we mm-hmm. have this dream, and sometimes it's more of a, there's not a reality to it, and yes. you don't put yourself, you know, doing the work or what it takes. And I love that you found something else that you're actually passionate about, and then you can put that on camera, that you love being on camera together. Because mm-hmm. for me, I actually hate being on camera, like being myself.
It's so funny, isn't it?
I hate my voice. I hate the way I look. I will pick myself apart. But when I'm another character, I don't even see me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's why you're so good at what you do. And I love watching you in your element, because it's so fun, because I know you and I know your personality. And then I'll watch something that you do and you come across completely differently, which is the job.
Yeah, which is actually the job.
Which is actually literally the job. But for me, it's finding myself even more in those kinds of projects. And I think that we're in such a different place with representation, which is so unbelievable. I think the business has a long way to go, but I, you know, for anyone who's listening, don't be discouraged by that at all. Like, you know, if you want to take the chance on something, because who knows, like if I had done a couple projects and like when I first moved here and maybe they were really successful and then I slowly started to transition into, I don't know, maybe like a beauty expert reality kind of thing and kind of built a following in that regard, my career might have been in a different place. But at the same time, you know, I don't regret the path at all because we all have to find our way.
Exactly. And you can't even, I hate when I do that, like go back, well, what if I would have taken this job or I would have gone.
Worst.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
Because, you know, when it comes to doing something like acting, the fear of failure is really, really, really huge. It's probably, I mean, anyone who has a passion about anything can have a fear of failure, and that's completely legitimate. But when you're at the top of the totem pole and the camera's on you, it's much, much scarier.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely not wanting to fail.
Yeah, and that's what it sounds like, not wanting to fail, because failing is... it's hard, man. Rejection is hard.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I auditioned for a reality show recently, which I did not end up booking, but they went a completely different path.
And how did you handle that?
It was fine because when I finally saw the show, they had kind of gone a completely different direction. So it was not.
But here's my question for you. Before you knew who they actually hired, how was the rejection?
I was devastated for sure because I didn't hear back. I didn't really even get like
You never hear back.
So I was really bummed because it was for a big network and I was feeling for sure like this was that moment. Because like I said, I've done plenty of it. This is not like I want to be an on-camera personality being a beauty expert. Like I've done plenty of that. So I have the experience. I just haven't necessarily found the right project.
Yes.
And I felt like when I did that audition, I mean, I put this huge press kit together, you know, all of the work that you do for something like that. And then just nothing.
Crickets,
like less than crickets. But then when I finally saw the show, I saw a trailer and I nearly fainted because I saw the ad for the trailer and I was like, okay, I might keel over and die because obviously I didn't do it. And the project happened. But then when I saw it, I said, okay, there was like, it wasn't a makeup artist they were looking for.
It
had gone a completely different direction. So I did feel a lot better about that, knowing that it wasn't personal because there really wasn't a place for me. But at the same time, like, you know, it takes away a part of you when you do all of that planning and all of that work. It's exhausting. And it's not only physically taxing, but it's emotionally taxing.
Oh, yeah. And think about that you're doing that at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah. It's like,
and you put in the work and you memorize lines and you go in and you tape yourself and you get notes and you do those notes and you get dressed and all that stuff. And
yeah. I remember you telling me once about learning like 10 pages of script in like the night before.
Oh yeah.
And then you ran like 2 lines and you were like, did you really have to torture me? Like in that much of it? Like, are you kidding me? You could have just had me memorize 1 page. Like
yeah.
10 pages of script it's insane.
They do that. They give you 10 pages, you work on them and then you go in, they're like, oh, we're just going to read scene 1. And you're like, what?
Really?
Do you understand? Well, I have a child. Yeah. I have a life.
Yeah.
I have to get some sleep. I have to look amazing.
Nobody cares. You have to do it all. You have to do all of it. And it's crazy. It's just, I don't know how you do it. Like, honestly. And that's where I'm at with this secret. Because it's not only just like a I couldn't handle it, but more of a, like, what I have learned from the business, like being in the business and working with actors, it's just like, it's brutal out
there. It's insane. What else? What is some other things other actresses have told you that you can tell me without giving away who they are?
I think racial appropriation is something that, because I work with all different kinds
of people. You do. You have
all different kinds
of ladies.
And I have had clients definitely tell me, like at auditions, that that the casting directors or the whomever, the producers, wanted them to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that was like, you know, it was definitely like a racial appropriation. Like one of my Asian clients had a casting director tell her to act more like Hello Kitty.
What?
Which is, oh my God, your face right now. It's like, yeah, because, and you know, she talked about that to, she talked about that in interviews, and a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, like, what does that even mean? And I'm like,
No idea what that means.
I know exactly what that means, because Hello Kitty is this, like, you know, Asian stereotype in a lot of ways. She doesn't have a mouth, because what the reason for that is that she, quote unquote, speaks from the heart. But as far as I'm concerned, they just didn't want her to have a voice, and they just wanted her to be cute and, like, you know, like this cute little Asian perfect, you know, kitty cat who's actually not a cat. She's a girl. So it's like, what does that even mean, though, for her? Like, that's so bad.
That's the worst direction I've ever heard. And I've had some pretty bad direction.
It's so bad. You know what I mean? So, or, you know, for an African-American actress, well, can you say the line like a little bit more, like a little bit more urban? Like, oh, so you want me to sound... Like, you don't mean urban, like, in like a fierce, swaggery way. Like, what you're saying is you want me to sound either more feisty, or... Feisty is not even a bad thing, but basically, like, maybe say it like you're less educated.
Yes.
Or say it like you're, you know, like, from the ghetto. Like,
yeah.
that's what you're saying. Versus you could just say, like, oh, say it with a little bit more... Say it with some more flavor. Say it with some more sass. Like, give me the line with more ferocity. But no, you're telling me to act like I'm from the... Like, you know, it's... And you know, they wouldn't say that to a white person. They're going to say that to a black actress or actor. The makeup chair is a fierce place, I'm going to tell you. And the things I have heard, it just blows my mind. But, you know, Hollywood has learned a lot over the last 10 years, at least, that I have been in witness of it, as far as there are certain things that you don't say, because guess what? They are offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the benefit of keeping this secret, and what was the harm?
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think the benefit of keeping the secret allowed me to grow as a makeup artist, and allowed me to really let that in, because I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm good at it. I'm not saying that to be vain. I'm saying that because it's...
No, I already said you were great at it.
It's true. And I've put the work in. Like, I've worked really, really hard. I mean, by the time we met, I had learned a few things, you know, and I started at the matte counter, and that was the best education I could have ever gotten, because the most amazing makeup artists were our trainers, and they were constantly teaching us how to, like, let me show you this winged liner. Let me show you this contouring technique. Like, we're always learning. So I've come a long way with my education and with my experience. So if I was trying to do something else at the same time, especially a service that's involved with the business, it would have been really, really tricky. And I think that I would have lost a lot of credibility.
Probably. Because there's something about when you're not the actor, and then you tell everybody you want to be an actor, there's this weird stigma comes, like, oh,
I've heard that a
stay
lot.
Stay away from him, because he's going to, like, ask me for a job or ask,
oh, 100%,
like, a connection.
I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, because I'm like, yeah. I've heard that so much on set, where a PA or an assistant will randomly sneak that in there. Yeah, well, my real passion is acting. And I'm like, oh gosh,
like, no, do not say that.
Read the room. Now is not the time or the place at all. So yeah. I think that the benefit is that I've gotten to where I am, and I wouldn't change where I am for the world. And I have a long way to go as far as my growth as an artist, because I think it takes like approximately 15 years to become an overnight success.
Approximately. I'm still on 20. Yeah, I'm just a working actor over here.
It's hard. It's hard. And the business is brutal. And people have, publicists have personal relationships and actors and managers, and there's so many things working against you. It's not just like, oh, you did a great job, but they have other makeup artists that they like too. It's like, well, maybe their agent doesn't like you. Maybe their manager doesn't like you. Or maybe their agent is like, they're friends with a hair and makeup person that they want to. There's so many factors.
Well,
that's
the thing too
you.
About acting. There's so many factors of you getting a job or not even getting a job.
Yes.
There's so many equations. But my last question for you, if somebody's listening to this and they have a dream or they have something they want to go for, but they don't know if it's right, or if they do know it's right, what would be your advice for them?
I think that you have to really take some time to understand what it is that you really want. And that can be very difficult when you're young, because for me, I was seeing like, oh, maybe this is something that I want to do. Like, why can't I do this? And then I quickly realized that, okay, there's part of that, because there is an on-camera aspect, but it has nothing to do with being an actor. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to really think about it, like make a pros and cons list, like do all of that kind of problem solving to really figure it out what it is you want. And I think you need to, journaling sounds so silly, but I also think that it's really important, because when you start writing down reasons, like if you told me 10 years ago, okay, well, write me like a little essay on why you want to be an actor, I wouldn't have been able to tell you, because it wasn't really what I wanted.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to. I mean, I think it depends. It's just so tricky, because in the business, there's like all these flashing lights and flashing yellows, and like you don't really know what you're even doing half the time. But I think it's important to not be discouraged if you feel like you're not represented. I think that's really, really important, because that's something that discouraged me initially. Like, well, I don't see myself in any of these people, so I can't do this. And that worked out to my advantage, in the sense of it's not really what I wanted to do. But I could have felt that very same way about being myself on camera. And if I felt that way when I had the opportunity to do that first on-camera project, RuPaul's show, if I had still felt that way, I mean, I certainly did. I certainly thought, well, are they going to hire me? Or are they going to hire some like hot white like model to pretend to be a makeup artist? I mean, that legitimately went through my head. But when I auditioned and I got the part, and audition is such a dirty word for me, I'm like, I don't do this. I realized, I'm like, well, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. And I can take up some space and represent myself and not be ashamed of being, Armenian or gay or any of these things. Like, I can go out there and be who I am and be authentic to who I am and not apologize for it. So if you feel like you're afraid to get out there and to make a dream happen because of the way you look, because the way you think other people will perceive you, don't.
Yeah, just do it. Just go for it.
Just do it, because there is a place for everybody. There really is. And it's getting better. It's getting a lot better. And I think that that's something to remember. Like, don't be afraid to try.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your secret.
This is so fun.
Appreciate you.
This is like really liberating and like weird and cool and like so bizarre, because this really is a secret.
I know. That's why I'm doing it. It's to liberate. It's to free. And it's to be your authentic self and to connect with another person.
I love it so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Brianne. And I really hope that I see you soon. In the flesh. Because, I just can't deal. I miss you. We need some fierce glam moments to happen.
We do.
Yeah.
If you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thank Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.